Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at gracecurleyshow.com.
She's a nasty woman. She's a really nasty woman.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace. Grace Curley.
Grace!
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, hour number two here on this Thursday, October 2nd. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Grace Curley, and so happy to be here with you. Later on in the program, we're going to be joined by Eddie Scarry, and he's got a new book out called Traitors, and it's a fascinating read. I've gotten through the first couple of chapters, and it's really, all of his books have been great. Eddie Scarry will be joining us then to talk about the latest in this series and how Democrats are just doing everything they can to make everybody they can hate America. That's basically what it boils down to. And there's a lot of different ways that they're doing it and continue to do it. So we'll talk about that with him. I do want to get back to Zohran Mamdani because he was on The View yesterday, everybody's favorite show. Why wasn't Whoopi Goldberg afraid of having Zohran Mamdani, a Jew hater, onto the program? Is Goldberg not Jewish? I don't know. She selected that name. It's not her real name. But this is, Zohran was asked what he is, because Trump calls him my little communist. Zohran, we love to say little communist. But he doesn't like that moniker, I guess. Cut four.
Okay, let's talk about President Trump, because he had a lot to say about you.
Dear friend of mine.
Let's quickly tick through all the things that Trump said about you, and let's get that out of the way, all right? Number one, he's attacking you as a communist. Are you?
No, I'm a democratic socialist. That means I believe in dignity for all people.
It means more than that.
Yeah, I think...
You're not a communist. I agree with that.
No, I'm not a communist. And I think, you know, a lot of New Yorkers have asked me, what does it mean that you're a democratic socialist?
Yeah.
And I tell them to think about the words of Dr. King from decades ago. He said, call it democracy or call it democratic socialism, there has to be a better distribution of wealth for all of God's children in this country. And that's the heart of it.
Okay.
But, communist? I'm not a communist.
Forcing them to have a better distribution of wealth, though, is and does sound like communism. If you're going to force government-run grocery stores onto people, if you're going to force people to subsidize these grocery stores and subsidize free buses and subsidize all of these things and redistribute their wealth, that sounds to me like communism.
Big communist.
Call me crazy. Call me absolutely crazy. That's what I hear when I hear a better distribution of wealth. By the way, wasn't Tyler Robinson, Charlie Kirk's assassin, a democratic socialist? I believe that's the party that the group, the Antifa group that he was associated with, Democratic Socialists of America, and was radicalized by. Zohran Mamdani was asked why he thinks members of his own party like Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, the shutdown leaders, they'll go so far as to force a shutdown, but they won't go so far as to endorse Zohran Mamdani. And he's asked why. Cut three.
Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are trying to win the midterms, win back the House and the Senate for Democrats. So why specifically do you think they're hesitant to endorse you?
You know, I can't speak to their thoughts and their interest in this. What I can tell you, however, is that what we have built in this city is also an indication of what politics can be. You know, oftentimes after the November general election, we heard that young people were leaving the Democratic Party. They were getting disinterested in politics. And we built a campaign where we said, what if we treated them with respect and not condescension? What if we asked them what they needed in the city? Mm. We made the top three highest performing age groups all under the age of 35. Mm. That's something that we haven't seen in the city before. That needs to be at the heart of our politics across the country.
Yeah, what if you did treat them, these young people, with respect and treat them like you're not condescending to them? Can I have cut one again, please, Matt?
You deserve better.
You deserve to be able to raise your family here, to be safe, to travel where you need to, free of costs and worry. You deserve someone who works as hard as you do, who thinks about you every second of the day. That's the kind of mayor I promise to be. New York, will you accept this rose?
Paid for by Zoron for NYC.
Blech. That's condescension. That's mass appeal right there. That is stooping down. I hate that. I hate that. Ugh. There's nothing so cringy as... I've said it before. It's like when a band or a comedian comes in and they go backstage to whatever town they're in, and they go to one of the locals and say, hey, what's the spot in town that everybody avoids? And that's the South Side. Okay, thank you. And then they include it into their act. And except for those people from the South Side, and everybody's as if he's lived here his whole life. We know that you don't know this area. We know, Zoran Mamdani, that you don't watch The Bachelor unless, as I said before, you swing that way. We know that you probably don't care for all of the capitalist nature that is wrapped up into, a traditional relationship kind of show like The Bachelor. And to call it a traditional relationship show is laughable in itself. I mean, you're speed dating, 25 different women? Cougars, if you will. They're all older women. That's what the show is, I think. The Golden Bachelor. It's an older man, and he's going through all these older women looking for a new sugar grandma. Something. I don't know. I may have seen a couple of episodes. Not proud of it. Not proud of it.
It was wild.
How dare you, sir? How dare you? 844-500-4242. Here's Zoran on Sanctuary Cities. Cut two.
He says that he'll withhold, this really is something. Trump says that he will withhold federal funding for New York City if you win. Can he do that, number one? And
yes.
My question is that going to stop people from voting for you?
You know, this is just one of the many threats that Donald Trump makes. Every day he wakes up, he makes another threat, a lot of the times about the city that he actually comes from. And what is angering to me is not what Donald Trump does, because we've come to expect that from him, but it's the idea that we have to accept that as the law, the idea that we have to accept that as normal. We have to fight that, because we know not only is it an overreach from a federal administration, it's an example of what he's done elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, in California, he's spoken about withholding federal funding. The attorney general there has estimated that for every dollar they spend in legal fees, they've won more than $30,000 back in funds they would have lost. I'm proud and lucky to say that here in New York, we have an incredible attorney general, Tish James,
who's
been on the front lines of that same fight.
Isn't that temporary?
He's already lost several fights and is probably going to lose her own criminal trial for mortgage fraud, whatever she's been not convicted of, but accused of. How airheaded of a person do you have to be to say he can't do that? It's illegal because New York City is illegally enforcing sanctuary city status. How much of a dope do you have to be in order to believe that? That Trump can't do one thing because I'm doing something that's illegal first. President Trump is withholding federal funding on, whatever he deems fit and legal to do from communities, cities that aren't complying with ICE, that aren't aiding ICE, that are actively obstructing ICE and DHS personnel from going in and removing criminal, illegal aliens and anybody that happens to be illegal that is caught with them. And he has every right to do so. If you're not going to help me, you are hindering me, and I am going to withhold. There's a contract there. You fall under federal law. You have your own set of rules, but there's a federal oversight here as well. And if you're not going to comply with that, when we come into your state, your city, and remove people that are illegal, no matter where they are in the United States, they are illegal. well, we're going to shut off the faucet and not provide that funding to you. Absolutely wild. And that's the next mayor of New York. Again, it's looking like that unless he does something that is so obscene, but I can't see. I've got family in New York City, and they're all about Zohran Mamdani. They love him. They think he's a dreamboat. He's a good-looking guy, I guess, and he's young, and he's promising free things. And, you know, that's all they need to hear is free. I imagine that the price of everything in New York City is very high. The cost of living is extremely high. But I wouldn't want somebody to come in and say, well, all of a sudden this is all going to be free, because that's a huge set of red flags that go up in my mind. Tom, thanks for holding on. You're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Taylor, how you doing?
Great.
Yes, sir. I want to speak to the issue of health care for illegal immigrants.
Yep.
Now, Schumer and Jeffries maintain that it's not an issue. So let us say, for the sake of argument, that it is not an issue. So, Taylor, about 7 weeks ago, I'm in the ER. There's a sign in the ER, two signs. One's in English, and the other one is in the obligatory language, take a wild guess what?
Espanol.
Spanish. Yes. And to paraphrase the sign, it says people will not be denied treatment based on their inability to pay. So now you're from, let's say, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, San Salvador, or my liberal critics will say something about Ireland. So I'll say, okay, let's say somebody from Dublin. They fall off a ladder. Let's say they're working for a roofing company in Lynn. They fall off a ladder, get hurt. They go to the ER, get hurt. They can't pay. They get treated. Who pays Taylor?
You.
Tom from Lynn pays. Taylor from, we are from Fall River pays. all the middle class working people, to include veterans in your listening audience, people like me pay. So the issue is free health care for...
Right. It makes you wonder, Tom, like, if you have to go to the emergency room, why you're not leaving your wallet in the car, you know? And feigning not understanding. Just say, yo no say. Why don't you do that?
Yeah,
because you have integrity. You have a responsibility to your fellow man in order to pay your own way for things. But, you know, apparently the people that are breaking into this country don't feel that there's no reciprocal feeling there. Thanks very much for the call. You're lucky I didn't hang up on you when you said I was from Fall River. 844-500-4242. I'm Taylor Cormier, not from Fall River. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on X at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome to the Grace Curley Show, 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly. Contact him at localsilvermint.com. Matt, what's today's poll question? What are the results thus far?
And you can vote in the poll question by going to gracecurlyshow.com. President Trump says New York City electing a communist mayor is the best thing that could have happened to the Republican Party. Do you agree, yes or no?
Yeah.
And the math adds up a little bit better. This time, 90% say yeah, 10% say no.
I mean, it's not the best thing ever, but it would be the best thing as of right now. I mean, even better than the Democrat shutdown. We'll see how New York plays out. It's a gamble, and it's a losing bet with Mamdani. I have no doubts about that. And it's going to show how much better and how much more effective the Republican Party. I mean, I saw pictures of Union Station today in Washington, and it is gorgeous. I'm sure when you walked in there before, you never really noticed or took note much of the architecture, the attention to detail that's included in the interior of that building, or even the exterior for that matter, because you were distracted by, I don't know, some odd body odor. But now they did a walkthrough, and it's magnificent. It's absolutely beautiful. So hopefully that trend continues. Netflix is the latest victim of right-wing cancel culture, and here is why. For some reason or another, libs of TikTok started posting some clips from Netflix original shows that are geared towards children. And again, I say they are geared towards children. They are made with the intent of children and children alone watching them. Things like Coco Melon, that I know has been very popular in the past few years. But there are other shows as well. It started this trend with a show called Dead End Paranormal Park. And in this series, which seems to me, from the cursory, you know, reading I did of it, seems like a kid's version of Westworld with zombies and demons, is promoting trans ideology to seven-year-olds. This is one of the characters in the show, Cut 9.
It's not the park. It's me. I'm trans, Norma. And everyone at school knows, and everyone at home knows. And being here, it's like a whole new place. I can just be Barney, and I can choose if and when I tell people. I've never been happier. And that's saying something when I spent today chased by terrifying zombie mascots. Pugsley reminded me how important it is to live your life without apology.
So these characters, they consort with demons, which, I mean, come on, it's already evident that they're dealing in that kind of stuff. But the protagonist is a gay, transgendered boy who plays with demons and is obviously a self-insert of the creator, who's, this was what Bleeding Fool on X wrote, whose thoughts are Charlie Kirk, about Charlie Kirk, or about what you'd expect. And, he called Charlie Kirk a Nazi who got shot, and criticized people who sympathized for Charlie Kirk. So that's part of what's on Netflix. Here's some other stuff that's on Netflix right now. Transformers. I didn't know Transformers was still going on, but apparently they rebooted it. Transformers Earthspark, another children's show in the year of our Lord 2025 on Netflix. This is Cut 10.
Of course. Morgan, can you switch?
Nightshade's pronouns are they, them.
He or she just doesn't fit who I am.
My apologies. Please switch their piece.
You're a robot! You don't have pronouns. You're a robot. I'm sorry, what is it? What are they called?
I would assume they're just autonomous robots. I mean,
automatons, I think, is what they are. Automatons. Autobots.
I'm taking this from a robot that turns into a canoe.
They, them pronouns for a robot. All right. Enough of the sound cuts. Coco Melon Lane. A Netflix show for kids showcases a little boy in a dress dancing for his two gay dads. Shows for toddlers on Netflix. Gecko's Garage shows kids joining an LGBTQ pride parade and waving pride flags to celebrate alternate made-up genders and transgenderism. And Ada Twist, Scientist, a show, again, for seven-year-olds, showcases young students coming together to set up and celebrate their teacher's gay wedding. Barack and Michelle Obama are the show's executive producers. So Elon Musk has tweeted out, after, you know, he reposted people's calls to cancel Netflix and that they're canceling their accounts, and he retweeted that cause and said, same. Elon Musk has canceled his Netflix account. Never let your kids watch anything that you haven't screened before. Can't say that loud enough. We'll be back with Eddie Scarry. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Joining me now is Eddie Scarry. You know him. You love him. He's from The Federalist. You've seen his work in The New York Post before. He's a friend of The Grace Curley Show. And he's got a new book out. It's called Traitors, The Democrat Party's Collapse into Anti-American Filth. I would say, I mean, it's so prescient to have him on in the wake of everything, but it seems that's more and more the case every single day, right, Eddie? They continue this dive into anti-American filth.
That's exactly right. It's like every single day I wake up and go, oh, how are they being anti-American today? And then you see that we're shutting down the government so that they can give more welfare to illegal aliens.
But yeah, they're shooting at ICE officers. They're shooting right-wing commentators, people that just are looking for a healthy debate on issues. You know, the most American thing you can do, there's always things you can add on to with subject material like this, but give us kind of an overview. You lay it out very well. You have a very easily digestible way of writing, and I really appreciate that. It's not boring and it's not pretentious. It's a great style. And you walk through kind of all the angles where Democrats are trying to devalue what it means to be a true red-blooded American.
Yes, and thank you so much for saying all of that about my writing. Those are the best compliments I have, or when people say things that I think, you know, you wouldn't expect as such a good compliment to hear when this was easy to read. It was not boring. I love hearing those things, so thank you so much. This is kind of an idea that I've had over the course of the last maybe 3-4 years, but especially what we went through in 2024, which I still feel that we had not fully confronted what actually happened in 2024. And that's what that was the main point I wanted to get across in this book, was that every single major issue, every single way that Democrats maneuvered and conducted themselves was just patently anti-American. And you think you might have thought it once upon a time, and not the too distant past, that that's a little bit too simplistic. It's not a very sophisticated way of looking at things. But no, that is the answer anymore. How else do you explain their conduct during 2024, which is first trying to bankrupt their political opposition in Donald Trump, then trying to kick his name off the ballot, deny his supporters the right to even vote for him, then try to put him in prison. Ultimately, he gets shot, and on it went. And they did the same thing to his supporters. They did it with parents who are going to school board meetings. Suddenly, those are considered terrorists by the Democrat Justice Department. People who are peacefully praying as a protest outside of abortion centers, they want to arrest them. Kicking people off social media, silencing them, opposing any effort to restore law and order to our major cities, as you see actually now with Trump saying, into our most violent cities, I want to send the National Guard. They say, no, we don't. We completely oppose that. You look at immigration, you look at the border, you look at this, I have a whole chapter on the, if you remember, Abrego Garcia.
Yeah, Sia. Yeah, I like it.
It's not just a matter of, you know, well, we want to be compassionate and we have disagreements about how many people we can let into the country. No, they take a professed illegal alien in this country illegally. He admits that. He's deported to his home country. A leading Democrat on taxpayer dime flies to that country to try and re-import him into this country. it's absurd. As it is, the explanation for it is just the Democrat Party is just the anti-American party. It's as simple as that.
Right. In the meantime, you have those same representatives, same senators that have constituents in their own districts who have been victimized by illegal aliens to the point of death. They won't even pick up the phone and call their parents or their surviving loved ones. It's absolutely ridiculous. And you were, you know, you point out in the book and you just said on air here, how much went on in 2024 and the days leading up to the election. And it's when you really take a look at it, it's quite a pile of nonsense that the Democrats went through. And there's so many things I want to ask. How do they, first of all, justify to their constituents. It's, I mean, it's fine for them to come out. It's not fine, but this is what they do. They come out and they use the lawfare against Trump and all of his supporters. They keep the J6 people in jail for as long as possible without due process. They shove in their own candidate when Joe Biden says, "I'm calling it quits," and doesn't name a successor. And they put in somebody that their party didn't even vote for as the head of the ticket. They do all of these things in the name of democracy. How do they go to their own constituency and justify themselves overruling what democracy actually is and say it's okay what we're doing?
Right, because they in a big way, they don't really even bother justifying themselves. They don't bother having to explain themselves. They simply say things that are either the opposite of true or just have no basis in fact. When you're calling someone a fascist and an authoritarian, the person who you have tried throwing in prison, who your party is the one who weaponized the Justice Department to go after your political opposition, and then you to the extent you're actually even trying to justify it, you say the opposite of what's even true. No, they don't even bother. And for a long time, they really got away with that. Because why? Because they had the national news media, who people naively, the public at large, innocently but naively, trusted to tell me the truth. I can't, you know, I think that's a uniquely American quality, is to be pretty trusting and forgiving and assume that people are telling you the truth, no less the people who shout from the rooftops that they're the purveyors of what's fact and what's true. The news media covered for Democrats time and time again, and that, again, is such a big part of this book, was the media in 2024 treating the anti-American behavior of Democrats as if it was completely normal. And what they did with Kamala Harris, where everyone in Washington, I was there for a long time in Washington, I was there for pretty much all the Biden years, everyone in Washington, including the press, knew that she was a joke, knew that Kamala Harris was a joke. There was story after story about her, her office, the high turnover rate, how she complained a lot about how she didn't feel like she got the right responsibilities. In fact, she does that herself now in her book. That she wasn't getting the right portfolio to make herself look good. But everyone knew she was in over her head. And what happened? She becomes a nominee, and at the drop of a hat, she's suddenly, it's Brat Summer.
Yeah.
We've never had a more popular political figure in this country. She is George Washington reincarnate. They let her, by the way, flip every single position she ever had and let her get away with it and say, oh, she doesn't believe in that anymore. She's into building a consensus now. The way that the media just allowed that to happen and then straight up lied to the American public that this was a close contest, she very well might be president, she was blown out of the water. And I always thought to myself, what are the media going to do? This was before the election. I said, what are they going to do when she loses, which she should? She should lose. If everything is fair, she should lose, and it shouldn't even be close. What are the media going to tell their audience? Their audience, who they've just been telling that, yeah, this is a nail biter, it's close, and Kamala Harris is actually really cool and popular, when we all know she's not. What are they going to do? Well, once again, they just moved on. They just moved on as if it never happened.
Well, they didn't just move on, Eddie. They said, well, I guess we have more racists in the United States than we previously thought. That's how they covered it.
Oh, right.
Do you think they'll have a moment with Kamala Harris like they did with Joe Biden when that veil was finally lifted and we all saw, and most importantly, Democrats were able to see just how far gone he was mentally? Is the media ever going to have that moment with Kamala Harris where they can be honest that she wasn't really all there either?
I really hope not. I really hope they don't. Just keep her on the stage, the national stage, as long as possible. You probably saw that she recently told the Wall Street Journal she still sees herself as a leader of the party. Now, yeah, just keep that delusion going, because I think, as we saw with her and when she became the nominee, as we saw with Joe Biden, the lies, they don't work. They don't work. When the media was telling us, all for the sake of stealing the election, when the media were saying prices are down, border crossings are down, crime is down, Kamala is popular, they tell you the exact opposite of everything, believing that you're still going to be tricked, believing they can still manipulate you and deceive you. It doesn't work anymore, because there's too much alternative media. There's TikTok. There's a Twitter that's finally free and open. There's podcasts, these overwhelmingly popular podcasts. They have just taken the job of what the media used to be, and they're the ones that people are listening to now, because the media, just like the Democrat Party, has become so anti-American. They don't believe in telling the truth anymore. They can't level with Americans anymore. And Americans, I think, just have for sure just gotten sick of it and said, I'm not listening to you.
It's so true. Eddie Scarry, thanks for joining us. Where can people get your book, first of all? It's already out, but what's the best place for people to go and find your book?
The best place for sure is to go on Amazon.com. You can search for traitors. The Democrat Party's collapse into anti-American filth. Also, you can find me, and I can point you into other directions. And I will be able to do signed copies soon. You can find me on Twitter, what we call X now, at E Scarry. At E Scarry. Scarry has two R's.
Thank you, sir. We really appreciate it. It was a great read. I haven't finished it yet. I will. Like I said, it's just such an easy read and an enjoyable one at that. Thank you again, Eddie Scarry from The Federalist, for joining us, talking about his new book. We'll be back. We've got a special deal for our listeners coming up in just a bit. 844-500-4242. I'm Taylor Cormier. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Watch the show live. Rumble.com/The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
So you're looking for a deal and you want to make it real.
A money-saving deal.
It's Grace's Goodies.
Goody, goody.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is that time. We have a Grace's Goodies just for you, and it is to Eviva Trattoria. And they are all over. We love Eviva Trattoria, some of the finest Italian cuisine that you're going to get in this area. And they're, every time we do a remote, I hope it's at Eviva Trattoria, because I know I'm going to be taken care of. They've got locations at Hanover, Marlborough, Maynard, Stoneham, Wrentham, Westford, and Rochester, New Hampshire. And you can go in just a moment to gracecurlyshow.com, click on store, and you can get a $50 gift card to Eviva Trattoria for just $25. Joining us now is Marcy from Eviva, and she's the chief operating officer over there. Marcy, thanks for joining us today.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm fantastic.
So happy to be here.
I'm great. Terrific. Now that we're talking my kind of language, which is Italian food, I love it.
You missed a couple stores. We also are Quincy, Mass. Nashua, New Hampshire, and Bedford, New Hampshire. And
oh, my.
Seem to be in Concord.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to do some updating on our end here. So I'll do that. I'll do that. You talk. I'll update. What's going on at Eviva? Okay. Obviously, you've got some new stores opening and some specials for the fall coming up as well.
Oh, definitely. So we just rolled out our new cocktail menu. All the fall keywords are on there. We have an awesome spiced apple cider. And it's not your typical apple cider. It's spiced by some spicy ghost reposado tequila. Hmm. So it's literally a little bit spicy, but it has that cold pressed apple cider in there, some fresh apple puree, just topped with a little bit of ginger. So delicious.
That'll warm you up.
Sure will. The all-time favorite beverage here at Eviva is our sangria. And, of course, we always have our Eviva signature red sangria. That's a staple year-round. But we added a caramel apple white sangria. So it's just, like, so amazing. In that sangria, we have a little bit of our locally made Faber caramel vodka with some apple liqueur, some fresh lemon juice, a homemade cinnamon simple syrup, some caramel homemade syrup, that fresh cold pressed apple cider with our white wine. And boy, oh boy, it is just so delicious. It's served with cinnamon sticks. So you just feel all, like you said, warm and toasty. So we have some really cool drinks coming, a fig and vanilla martini, a salted caramel tini. And that one's made with New England's favorite Kahlua Duncan caramel swirl. So, yes, so we're definitely all ready for the fall. We have a new menu coming out in November. We're going to keep some classics, take a few things away, a little sneak peek. We're going to add a chicken saltimbocca. We're going to do a grilled blackened salmon with crispy quinoa, some spinach, some fresh bruschetta tomatoes with a romesco sauce and our house-made pesto. So all kinds of cool things coming here to Eviva.
That's great. So you mentioned a few local things that you use in the cocktails. Is that something that Eviva tries to do anytime there? It makes sense to do that. Let's get a local ingredient. Yeah. Let's put that in.
know, our claim to fame is that we're a scratch kitchen. We try to do everything we can locally sourced. I know that's a, you know, hot keyword nowadays, but we really live it. So anytime we can bring on a new alcohol, we try to do something, you know, not only super delicious, it has to hit all the flavor profiles and, you know, the cost and all of that, but we try to do as much as we can from local distilleries, because there's so many around, you know, let it be beer or, in this case, Faber in Rhode Island, we use a bunch of their vodkas, and it's just spectacular. We also just added, as our house vodka, the Corvus vodka. Corvus is from Thai Law. Thai Law has a company, and we've decided to make his regular vodka, just our well vodka. It's a beautiful, gluten-free, just crisp vodka, clean. So, you know, that's another addition that we're doing, and that's locally done, too.
Fantastic. And, of course, you guys have... Is there live entertainment at Aviva? I know it's not really a set thing, but you do bring in some people every now and then, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, at least there's something, two or three or four or five things going on each week. You can go right to our website, avivatrattoria.com, and there's an events page. So that will give you every single event that's going on, that's scheduled and booked for every location. And there's live music all the time, every week.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. That's such a special thing. When you walk into a restaurant, you don't know that they're having somebody there that night, and there is. It just makes that evening that much more special. Let's talk about desserts a little bit. What's on tap? I know you said you have a new fall menu coming out in November. What's on the menu that people are looking forward to right now as far as desserts?
Oh, gosh, desserts are the killer. I always try to eat my dessert first when I'm not in a, you know, too formal of a setting, because that's my favorite part. But our tiramisu, I know it's kind of cliche in an Italian restaurant, but it's absolutely breathtaking. I dream about it. It is so, so delicious and creamy, and that espresso and those lady fingers, amazing. We have a super delicious salted caramel cheesecake. That is just, you know, it's not too overwhelming. It's not too sweet, but it just melts right in your mouth. And then another really good one that we have is our Leaning Tower of Pisa. So think about this big tower, this big gooey brownie topped with, you know, all kinds of homemade, we do our vanilla ice cream and then a homemade chocolate sauce and homemade caramel with some, you know, spiced nuts, walnuts, and it's just beautiful. So serve nice and warm with as many spoons as you want.
And if you're going to Aviva, if you plan on going to Aviva, you definitely want to be sure that you're part of the loyalty program, right? Because you can get points towards future visits. How's that work?
The loyalty program we have is amazing. So for every 110 points, and you accumulate $1 for every dollar you spend. And when every 110 points, it gets transferred into a $10, almost like gift card that's on your account. So you can hold them, you can save them and do one big event at the end of the year, or you can really just use them as you please. And again, you can sign up on that for our loyalty program on our website. And we also use the same loyalty program with 110 Grill. So if you're a 110 Grill fan, you come to Aviva, you can use that loyalty account, the same thing. You just use your phone number. Very easy to set up. You can even just come in. There's QR codes. We can walk you through it. It's a great loyalty program.
And we've got about 30 seconds here, Marcy. Holiday season is coming up. If people want to book parties at Aviva, how do they do that?
So you could just go right to avivatrattoria.com, get the phone number, look up our phone number. We have all of our managers are trained to help any guests. We have private dining rooms that hold up to 40. We could hold up to 150 people.
Awesome. Marcy, thank you so much. Go to gracecurlyshow.com, click on store, get your gift card to Aviva Trattoria right now. See you tomorrow.